He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, stay with me.
I find him so annoying. I really do.
Why is that?
I mean, first of all, that's Tom Petty's song, I Won't Back Down. And I get it. He's got cherubic cheeks and he's chubby and his boyfriend left him. I get it. I still think that Taylor Swift got absolutely robbed last night at the Grammys. I mean, 1989 was far and away the most successful, engaging album of the year. I mean, Taylor Swift is far and away the most impressively competent performer in the country. I think she should run for president. And here, this guy, he's got this one good song, and he's telling it's this true. Love story. I mean, come on already. And how many times can you hear that song?
Too many, unfortunately, at this point.
So that's the first of my random thoughts on this cold and dismal Monday morning in New York. I want you to feel free to weigh in at any time, 866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536. But, I mean, ice pellets hitting the damn window. Why don't I live in Florida? This is ridiculous. And I have a few things on my mind. They really are semi-random, but, you know, it's the kind of weekend. I love spending the weekend at Edgewater on the dock. You know, I'm very solitary. I'm writing the book there, and my grandson came over, and you know, various visitors passed through. Commissioner Carrick came. He had the galleys of his new book. He's very excited. You know, I was watching the news, you know, Brian Williams and so forth. But the Pope, I love this Pope. This is the best Pope, I think, of my adult life. He's a saint. He will be a saint. I mean, literally. He's the most compassionate, intelligent, relevant pontiff since John the 23rd. But I think the last thing we needed from Pope Francis, God bless him, is a green light to spank children. And that's what he gave over the weekend. I mean, in fairness, His Holiness moderated his advice about spanking by adding that spanking had to respect the, quote, dignity of the child. So you can spank your kid if you respect the dignity, and I assume that means the physical and emotional dignity of the child. But I want every parent listening to remember how angry you were the last time you felt like whacking a kid. If you remember how angry you were when you were on the verge of hitting your kid and hopefully quashed the emotion, you remember and you cop to the fact that you wanted to spank that kid because you wanted to teach the kid a lesson by inflicting pain. You wanted to associate pain with misbehavior. The payback for misbehavior is pain. You're big, he or she, usually he, is little, and it's so easy, too easy to take it too far. My dad never, ever hit us. There's a whole TV show, The Slap, about that, a guy who... And the kid is totally acting out, kicking him, swinging the bat at another kid, and he slaps the kid in the face, and that's the whole family, the whole neighborhood unravels as a result. The Pope, of all people, has to say that no hitting kids ever is better advice. You got to work it out. It's a pain in the butt. Much easier to hit than to... say no ice cream or no whatever it is the kid wants to do. You know, you can find a quid that's relevant, that associates. But once you start hitting the kid, that kid's going to hit other kids. That kid's going to hit his wife or his girlfriend. No hitting kids is much better advice, especially from the Holy Father. Anchorman. Brian Williams' decision to step aside as the NBC anchor is a terrible mistake. Terrible. No guts. It speaks of guilt and evasion. Far better to stand and fight, Brian. I mean, every one of his character assailants now admits that they lied once in a while. They did something once in a while. None of them is without sin. None of them. Flight is consciousness of guilt. What's next? Suicide? That's what we were talking about before we went on the air. Admiral Jeremy Borda, in the late 60s, after being accused by my old pal, Colonel David Hackworth, of falsely wearing a medal signifying that Admiral Borda was in combat, he killed himself when a Newsweek reporter called him to inquire about Colonel Hackworth's charge. He killed himself. I mean, what honor is there in taking your life for something like that? He had a bunch of kids. He was the chief of naval operations, for God's sakes. And he killed himself. Shake it off, Brian Williams. Clarify your apology. Address it first and foremost to the GIs who really were shot at that day. Say that you effed up. You don't quit. Now you got every little douche in the business stomping on your grave. No guts, no glory. Absolutely, appallingly unnecessary. And it, if anything, it compounds your sin and it makes any kind of comeback extremely difficult. My final random thought on vaccines and autism. I'm going to talk about this later on the show. Autism Speaks, God bless them, the leading advocacy group in the whole field of dealing with autism. They are advising their parents to vaccinate their children, saying that the result of their research, Autism Speaks research, is clear and is unequivocal. Vaccines do not cause autism. Get your kid vaccinated. Your measles infected kid is my problem. You know, Raoul Dahl, is that how you say his name? The guy that wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Matilda, wonderful, wonderful stories. He wrote scores of books and screenplays. He lost his daughter Olivia to measles in 1962. In 1988, he wrote a poignant plea to the health authorities in Britain urging that every single kid get vaccinated. And this has been recirculated in the wake of the measles outbreak that we've had, spread largely by unvaccinated individuals who came in contact with an infected visitor to Disneyland. Here's what Dowell wrote. Olivia, my oldest daughter, caught measles when she was 7 years old. As the illness took its usual course, I can remember reading to her often in bed and not feeling particularly alarmed about it. Then one morning when she was well on the road to recovery, I was sitting on her bed showing her how to fashion little animals out of colored pipe cleaners. And when it came to her turn to make herself one, I noticed that her fingers and her mind were not working together and she couldn't do anything. "Are you feeling all right?" I asked her. "I feel all sleepy," she said. In an hour, she was unconscious. In 12 hours, she was dead. There is no constitutional right not to have your child vaccinated when your child is a threat to my child. And lawmakers like the assemblyman who may be still going to join us later, hopefully, if he's not listening or if he has the guts to tell me why he is pushing to increase the number of exemptions for mandatory vaccines.
Which assembly member is this?
Tom Albanante. If that's spelled right. Assemblyman Tom Albanante is pushing for additional vaccine exemptions in the state of New York based on the parents' philosophy. Not their religion, their philosophy. Westchester Democrat. He'll have to defend himself against this. Get your kid vaccinated. Your kid unvaccinated, my kid's problem. 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. Happy Monday. We'll be right back.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
All right, welcome back. 25 minutes after on this ice pellety, dismal, cold, chilly. Why aren't we all in Puerto Rico Monday? Talking about a lot of things today, not the least of which is Pope Francis' advice that it was okay to slap your kid as long as you respected the kid's dignity. With all due respect to His Holiness, I say, that opens up a very slippery slope that leads to the kind of violence that we see in the elevators with the NFL. You see everywhere just, hitting and domestic situations just don't go together. Got to break that culture. Even yesterday, didn't we have the President of the United States speaking on the Grammys yesterday, Noam Layden, about domestic violence?
I didn't see that.
You didn't see the PSA? Oh, we'll talk to... our expert about it coming up here. Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, it's Frank.
Geraldo. Oh, Frank. Hey, welcome to the show. What's up?
All right. Great to talk to you again. Hey, listen, I'm not a psychologist, but I think I'm a living case study. My father, I'm the youngest of five, and five boys. We drove my father absolutely insane. He beat us pretty bad. And I have two boys, 12 and 14. They drive me crazy sometimes, and I never touch them.
How did your dad inflict his punishment on you?
With a belt.
So did the other kids watch?
Well, they kind of ran out of the room because they didn't want to be next.
So how did you hold your retributive hand? How did you not follow in your father's footsteps?
Well, because I realized that it just made me worse. I was a pretty bad kid, and I realized somewhere down the line that it's not about the kids, it's about the parents' inability to deal with their own frustration. And my dad couldn't deal with his frustration, and he took it out on us.
With all due respect to your dad, I assume you're using the past tense that he's passed away, was he a boozer?
No, absolutely not. Didn't drink, smoke, nothing.
Really?
He was a loving, loving father. But when we drove him crazy, the only way he knew how to deal with it is to take off his belt. And,
I think that, I don't like physical violence, but I can imagine a household of five boys could really can make you crazy, no doubt.
We were not good kids. We were not good kids at all.
How'd you all turn out?
Some of us turned out okay. I got one brother that's a little screwed up, one of them passed away from leukemia, but pretty well, I'd say.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Have a great day. Thanks for calling me. Here's Sean in Rockaway. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. I mean, except for the chills I have.
It's off the subject you were just talking about. I just wanted to say that I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between, I don't disagree with you on the vaccines, but I think there's a little disconnect with the fact that we had so many people coming across the border that were not screened for different vaccines. You know, it's like, to me, there's a disconnect between, I'm not saying people shouldn't be able to emigrate to the country, but they should be documented and they should, we should know whether they have their shots or not.
I agree. I agree. Absolutely. No, I agree. But the point is this, and the point is when I hear jingoistic commentators on the air, to me, they're far more egregious in their irresponsibility than Brian Williams was. He needs to apologize and fess up. But the people who go on the air and they take editorial lines like the malignant version of what Sean just said, that it's clear that these people, these undocumented immigrants brought the measles in from Mexico. It was Mexico's fault. It was the undocumented immigrants' fault. Absolutely ignoring the fact that Mexico has approximately the same rate of immunization as the United States, over 90%. But it is so easy to blame the others. So much more difficult to blame a righteous, upstanding, say, homeschooled kid in the United States, say, from Iowa, whose parents didn't have him or her vaccinated for religious or philosophical reasons. Much more difficult to blame someone who looks just like you or me. It's not an immigration problem. It's a public health immunization problem. Here's none with the news.
Headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day. 77 WABC.
Okay, welcome back. Crash, find me, shake it off. And then Numb can tell the sweet story of Taylor Swift actually saying that to Ryan Seacrest. Did that really happen?
Yeah, in an interview in like 2008, he had Taylor Swift on. And she said to him, she was asking him about a breakup, and she said, well, you just have to shake it off. And then, of course, well, now, what, 8 years later, 7 years later, she turned it into a number one hit.
Jay Donovan is a beautiful addition to the Todd Show in the morning. Now it's the Todd and Jay Show. So if you don't want, like, scintillating talk, you want music, you want rock and roll, Todd and Jade in the morning on WPLJ. Terrific. 95.5, our sister station right down the hall. We welcome her for the very first time to our studio. Hey, Jade.
Thank you. Very kind of you to have me on. I appreciate it.
Do you regret not having been invited or not going to the Grammys?
You know, I wasn't invited.
Damn.
It was kind of a bummer.
Do they know you're on a big station now?
Yeah, well, you know, they sent our guy Ralphie from Ralphie Tonight. He does the night show on PLJ. He did an excellent job, gave us some inside scoop on what was going on. You know, I just came to town, and Todd and I just got together for the show. So really, it's a good idea for me to stay here for now. But I'm hoping in the future that they'll invite me to do fun things like a free trip to the Grammys.
So how are you and Todd getting along? He's kind of a punk, right? No.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's brave. Have you seen him in the hallway and said that?
No. Nah, he's a great guy, Todd.
He's a great guy. We have a good time.
I tell you, his campaign against the prep school kid who got killed by the jihadist in New Jersey was really very eloquent, very effective. But no serious stuff. Now, Grammys, I am so annoyed with Sam Smith. I mean, first of all, I think that I Won't Back Down is... a total ripoff of, I mean, Sam Smith, there's a Freudian slip. Sam Smith's song is a ripoff of Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down, Stand By Me. And I, you know, you and I were talking before the show, and I get it that Sam is, you know, he's cherubic and he got his feelings hurt by his boyfriend and all the rest, but I'm so annoyed by it. And
right.
How did he beat Taylor Swift so badly when she had the record of the decade? I mean, she should run for president, Taylor Swift.
She probably should. She might do a better job than what we have now.
No.
Well, Sam Smith, actually, super nice guy, like you said. He's got that sweet essence about him and that sincerity, which I wonder how long it'll take the entertainment industry to really beat that out of him.
He's only 22. Give him a couple of years.
Right? And he seems like such a sweet guy, and congratulations to him for all his wins. But did you see his suit? Didn't it remind you of someone who would take your tickets at the theater? You know what I mean? The burgundy thing he had going on. But he does seem like a nice guy.
So what were your highlights? I mean, I liked Annie Lennox and Madonna. It shows that the old broads could still shake it up.
It was good. Actually, I thought Madonna's performance was great. I liked the whole sparkly matador thing she had going on with like the... it was like devils running around with the thorns kind of dancing around, frolicking about her. And then in a way that, oh, I'm way too good to walk off the stage because I'm the queen of pop. I'm going to be lifted off of the stage with a harness because I don't walk, peasants. I get taken from the stage.
I love Annie Lennox. I thought that she overdid it a little bit. I mean, she was a little too...
I thought she was great.
She is okay.
Did you like the air harmonica? Where she wasn't playing the harmonica, but she was faking that she was playing the harmonica.
So did you like the show generally?
I thought it was a great show. You know, a lot of those ballads that they do, the low tempo stuff, it really doesn't translate when I'm folding my laundry and my toddler is climbing on my head and pulling my hair, you know, and that's what's happening in my house. And then I'm trying to watch it and be entertained, you know, because then it just seems so down. I'm sure in the room it was magical and all of the artists had an opportunity to really display their talent.
See, Noam, you should let Jade hook up with us because I feel like Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga when she's in the room. You know? I like that Tony Bennett and Tom Jones are still rocking it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, if you and I did a duet, then would I have to wear like a meat dress or something? Because yeah, right. Gaga didn't do any of that craziness. She had beautiful emeralds on. Right. She had that lovely dress. She looked a little bit, I don't know, more normal, more human.
It's funny. I was talking to Sol, my 9-year-old, as we were watching the show, and I said, that's the girl that sings with, she went to Sacred Heart right across the street. She sings with the pork chop dresses.
Right.
Dad, she doesn't wear pork chops.
Or Kermit the Frog on her head, as she did once.
But, you know, it was, the music industry is interesting to me because it has royalty and it has the old codgers and you see the old executives. I mean, there's some people put together there with Band-Aids and gaffer tape. You wonder if their faces are going to split off, you know, with all the plastic surgery and everything else.
Right.
But I wonder how it rates compared to the Academy Awards. I mean, is it a popular show, a mainstream show?
I think a lot of people, especially for us with pop music, I mean, this is our Oscars. You know, this was a night that we were all just tuned in, ready to see who was going to win, you know, what was going to happen. Kanye almost stormed the stage.
Yeah, what about that, Kanye? I mean, is he... You just want to remind people, Taylor Swift, when she first burst on the scene, won her first Grammy, right?
VMA.
A VMA?
It was a VMA.
And Kanye got up and said it should have gone to Beyonce. I mean, during her live acceptance, it
right.
was just
and
bizarre.
Beyonce had a great music video. However, it was very rude of him to go up there and steal
well,
poor Taylor Swift's
moment. What does Jade Donovan of the Todd and Jade show think motivates Kanye? Is it just egotism, narcissism? Is it a sense of entitlement?
Does
he really think that his attitude prevails over all the industry?
Absolutely. All of that, you know, wrapped up into one big ball of he thinks it's creativity, but he masks that narcissism with, you know, I'm going to carry this flag. This is my creative moment. This is art, and I'm going to stand up for art. And that's really, I believe, what he wants to do. And he doesn't really consider everyone else's feelings or everyone else's art or their right to be able to create.
Well, I think he's perfect for Kim Kardashian. And speaking of Kim Kardashian, did you see what happened, Noam Layden, with Bruce Jenner tailgating that lady on the Pacific Coast Highway?
Three cars in the accident, one car pushed out into the roadway, and the woman was killed.
But, you know, Jade, what I thought of when I saw that, and we knew Bruce Jenner back when he was an Olympian, a decathlon gold medalist. He was a fabulous athlete and a very nice guy. And then he got caught up in the Kardashian maw, is the fact that it was so incredibly well documented, the incident, the fatal incident on Pacific Coast Highway, where I used to live for at home for many, many years. The paparazzi must have played a role in that. And the reason I say that is you can't get pictures with that like that unless you are surrounding the guy. And
right.
you can't tell me, even if they didn't bump him physically or have some direct role, that he wasn't conscious of the fact that he was being trailed by everybody. And how could that not distract you? And I really do believe that the paparazzi, they have to be curtailed. And I'm all for freedom of the speech, but that's mm-hmm. pathetic. It really is pathetic.
Well, it really is a sad story, too, because, you know, when you think about what he was actually doing that day, he was trailering an ATV that he was donating to a veteran.
Really?
So he was trying to do something nice, and they're trying to figure out, was he texting? Did he have a cigarette? Why was he looking down? You know, because if you're texting and driving in California, I also grew up in the L.A. area, you know, then that's illegal at this point. So he could be potentially charged with manslaughter if they do find out that he is at fault. But they gave him a field sobriety test right there on the scene. He has been apparently crying ever since, is heartbroken, wants to check in with the other victims. Lots of injuries. And that one woman that passed away, you talk about the paparazzi, TMZ has footage of her right before the accident. So this woman driving her white, you know, older Lexus, they see her in the intersection and they have the point of impact. They have the entire collision documented, his Escalade with the trailer.
No, I saw her face through the window. She had a look of horror. So the moment before she was killed by the oncoming Hummer, which should be illegal anyway.
Right.
I mean, just unbelievable. You have two children.
I do. I have a 2-year-old named Stella, who's wild. I call her a wildling. If you ever watch Game of Thrones, then you know what I mean. And then my stepson is Gavin. He's 7.
So would you or your husband ever hit Gavin if he acted out?
We aren't married, so I'm going to correct you for a second because that'll maybe come soon. But
make sure we get invited.
Yeah, right.
What the hell's his problem?
Well, it's not really his problem.
He's gonna, you know, you snooze, you lose, dude. What's his name?
I digress. Bryce.
Bryce.
Yeah.
Trust me, Bryce. Get it together.
We've been waiting for Geraldo to be a part of the proposal.
I see them circling Jade right now.
You're so funny.
So what if he hit the kid, if the kid was acting out?
Would we discipline our child?
Yes, physically.
It's a tough situation. I don't believe you ever hit a kid in the face. We would never hit our child in the face. Are we talking about spanking? And what situations are happening where the child deserves to be spanked?
The Pope just said, and I love the Pope. He's my favorite Pope, Pope Francis. He's also Latino. That's not why, but it's one, well, little reason. He said that it's okay if you respect the dignity of the child. And I thought that was opening up a can of worms, that will easily lead to escalation. And then we have enough domestic violence.
It's tough because then are you then creating, you know, that child to then abuse other children or
yeah,
maybe
I think
that
so.
Think that's an appropriate way to do that. I understand.
But
I was spanked.
But you
when
you
I was really bad in horrible situations when they're, you know, I was talking back, my parents would threaten me with the belt and things like that. Maybe they didn't have to do it. They'd do that trick where they'd do that with the belt, you know, to make that sound. And as a kid, you would just scamper away. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's right. When my dad used to spank the pillow when my mom was outside to pretend to spank us. Don't do that anymore. I told you never, ever do that anymore. He goes out, Lil, I took care of it.
That's so funny.
Well, it's delightful to have you on board here, Jade Donovan of the Todd and Jade Show. So don't be a stranger. You could be, you know, if you could stay awake, you can be our entertainment person after your show.
Why isn't
over.
It Jade
sure,
and Todd?
Sure, that's so sweet.
Well, maybe, you know, yeah, alphabetical.
What's with the Todd and Jade?
Walk down the hall and say that. Actually, I do have an answer for that. I know what they told me anyway, or the reasoning.
What was that?
Was that...
You're taller?
Jaden is a name. Well, that too. Jaden is a name, but Todden isn't a name. So if you say Todd and Jade, or Jade and Todd.
I get you.
Does that make sense?
I don't know.
Likely excuse by
delightful.
The suits.
Thank you for coming by.
You're so sweet for inviting me. Thank you so much. Nice to see you guys.
48 minutes after 10 o'clock. We'll be right back to your calls.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk. Well, I won't back down.
No, I won't back down. Stand by me. Sam Smith, you listening? No, I'll stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down. He should have gotten an honorary Grammy last night. Sam Smith winning four Grammys for Stand By Me, which I think is the same song. I don't know. You?
I have it here if you want to hear the difference between the two. So this is Sam Smith. Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need. Right, you get the idea. Now here's Tom Petty's Don't Back Down.
I guess at this stage, every riff you could think of has been used in some incarnation, so I give him some slack. But
well, he paid him off. He paid Tom Petty off.
He did.
Yeah, they settled in court.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. The Dow kind of matching this awful, melancholy day outside. Last time I looked, it was down about 80. So we'll watch that. There have been something like 17 double-digit swings down 78. In the last 30 sessions. I don't like that volatility. I just, everything is so edgy. You know, you're watching Ukraine. We talk about Syria and Iraq and how Jordan righteously is pounding the hell out of those ISIS savages. But I just saw a map on one of the news channels that showed all of the combat outbreaks in the Ukraine, eastern Ukraine, the border between the so-called separatists, the pro-Russian East, and the rest of the country. And man, that's getting to look more and more like a war to me. I mean, a full-scale war. I know 5,000 are dead. I mean, it doesn't match Syria where there are probably 300,000 dead, but 5,000 dead in Europe along that fault line there. I just worry that the sanctions are not enough vis-a-vis Vladimir Putin and Russia. And I know the president is totally involved in it. They're talking about whether or not to give weapons, defensive weapons to those Ukraine, the Patriots against the separatists. I don't know. I have to talk to some experts about it, but I would hate to see a full-scale war breaking out in Europe. That would just lead to more and more innocent people getting slaughtered, but we have to stop Putin someplace. All right, I'm going to come back to your calls, I promise, at 866-HERALDO after the news break on this grim, gray, icy Monday. Right back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk. You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart.
Beautiful as you feel. Jesse Mueller doing Carole King. They won the Emmy for the best musical performance. That may not be the category, but anyway, that's Carole King's music. It's Carole King's birthday. Happy birthday, Carole King. One of the things I want to talk about in this hour, it's been a busy, busy morning. One of the things I want to talk about, Fox News alone of all the news organizations, campaign to get the 13 killed and the 30 wounded at Fort Hood, the Purple Heart, to get their injuries accepted as being wartime injuries or being inflicted by the enemy. The Obama administration and the Defense Department had dug in its heels and said, no, that wasn't a wartime injury. What happened was that was a workplace violence injury. So here you have a jihadist, you have Major Nidal Hassan, totally motivated and speaking with Alawaki, the American cleric we killed with the drone strike in Yemen, totally inspired and instructed by him. He goes, he commits an act of jihad at Fort Hood, kills 13 people, 13 GIs, wounds over 30 others, and they wanted to classify it as a workplace injury. Baloney. It wasn't a workplace injury. It was a terrorist act. And finally, they're getting around. They are awarding those people the Purple Hearts, which comes with the, you know, lifetime benefits and obviously the recognition of a combat injury. It was very, very important in my view and correct. And bravo to Fox News for bringing it up. And the other news organizations kind of held their nose and said, oh no, here's Fox News going off again. I got news for you. They were correct. It was the righteous thing to do. And about time, but better late than never. Those are wounded heroes, combat veterans, even though the combat was at Fort Hood right here in the good old United States of America. And when you think about all of the others, the cops with the hatchet and the soldiers up in Canada, I mean, we have to regard these attacks by jihadis as acts of war. And the people who prevent those acts of war are war heroes. Even though the war is here at home, you can't talk about the war at home and then not recognize the victims of that war as being combat, having survived combat situations. Speaking of which, the de Blasio administration has finally seen the light, and they are about to get the best possible bulletproof vests for our cops. They just announced that they're going to spend just over $7 million. It's cheap, $7 million, to get 13,000 or upgrade 13,000 bulletproof vests for our cops. About time. Amen. Bravo, Mayor de Blasio. Again, better late than never. Our pal, the man who heads the Sergeants Benevolent Association, Sergeant Ed Mullins, joins us right now to come out on that and some other things we have not talked about in a while. How you doing, Sarge? How's it going? What do you think of the mayor's action?
How are you?
So what do you think about de Blasio's action with the vests?
I think it was a good move. I'm grateful he did it. And, I think these are all steps toward, having a good relationship, working relationship with the police. If you don't protect the police and the equipment they need, it's very difficult for us to protect the public. So, this is a good move. And it's been long overdue, so we're happy he responded to it.
Sergeant Ed Mullins is the president of the SBA. He's a frequent guest, could be a commentator on radio. He's got a great sense of issues that even go beyond the cost. But tell me, what do you think now? Has Mayor de Blasio made up the terrible rift as he brought the cops and the administration back together? Or you think he's trying sincerely? What's your view?
I do. It's funny. We had spoken about this once before on your show, if there was room to talk. And we are making headway. The city's moving forward. The police and the mayor's office are working, pretty fairly together at this point. So, and that's really the best way to, operate the city of New York. So, he's taken steps. We've taken steps to work together, and let's continue to stay that way. Hopefully it stays that way.
Before we continue in that kind of philosophical and working relationship, that practical aspect, tell me what these bulletproof vests will do that the old ones did not do, Sarge.
Well, what the old vest, were reaching a point of expiration, and many of them had expired for quite amount of years. And, you know, ballistically, they may be able to sustain the, you know, a shot that would penetrate it, you know, even if it's past its expiration date. However, the program is required to replace them at a set time. And what the mayor's office is now doing is putting a program in place and working with city council to create the funding so that the vest will, you know, reach its expiration point and there'll be a program in place to maintain replacements going forward. So the, you know, issue of an expiration would pretty much be removed from anyone's doubt.
That's great. That's great. Let me ask you, I see here that Breton is just saying the new vest will be thinner, custom fit to each officer, and made to protect against shotgun blasts. Well, bravo to that. So Sergeant Ed Mullins, head of the Sergeant Benevolent Association, what's with crime in the city? How do you see it? What are the trends now that you're we've eased up on marijuana arrests, for instance, some of the other quality of life stuff, stop and frisk? How are we doing in terms of law and order from the cops' point of view?
The shootings were up about a week ago, as were rapes. The minor crimes aren't measured as far as the seven index crimes go. You can see this past week, the homicides were down. The homicides remain down. I just think it's too early to tell what the real trends are going to be into this year. I mean, shootings are up, rapes are up, and we're in the middle of winter with blizzards that have been occurring frequently. So where are we going to be when the weather gets nice and everyone's out in the street again?
Good sage advice. Why do you think murders are down in New York? If it's not about stop and frisk, why do you think people are killing each other less in New York?
I don't think it's a question of they're killing each other less. They're trying to kill each other. But I believe as a result of, you know, emergency room technology, the rapid response of EMS, you know, we see this with the military gunshot wounds. If they can get someone off the battlefield to an OR, their chance of survival is, you know, improved. And I think that's what's happening, you know, here in the city of New York. We have shootings that are still there, but a quicker response, an EMS response, and better technicians in the emergency rooms, which are saving lives.
It's good to see you in a good mood.
I'm always in a good mood.
I know, sometimes you get angry. I like that. You're looking, I should say, an optimistic mood. All right, don't be a stranger.
I won't. Stay well.
All right, Ed Mullins, president of the SBA. Thanks a lot, man. Okay, now, as promised, your calls. Here's Harold in Connecticut. Hi, Harold. What's on your mind today? Thank you for calling 866-Geraldo.
Geraldo, I was wondering, does the changes in this Fort Hood shooting, okay?
Right.
Now, the status of these veterans. Now, I remember in Vietnam, if you were in the service, you were considered a Vietnam veteran, okay?
A Vietnam-era veteran is what they called them.
Yeah, okay? No matter if you were in country or out of country, you were considered a
Vietnam-era vet. Yes, that's true.
Okay? But didn't the Bush administration change that status?
I don't know. I'd have to check. I just don't know. I know that here, let me read here. We'll read together. Members of Congress succeeded in including legislation in the 2015 National Defense Authorization Act that broadened the definition of an attack by a foreign terrorist organization, to include, the perpetrator may have had, been involved with a foreign terrorist organization prior to the attack. And if the attack was, this is the new language, inspired or motivated by a foreign terrorist organization. So, they've just changed the legislation now. Congress has changed the legislation to include attacks inspired or motivated by the foreign terrorist organization. So that certainly would mean that Fort Hood would qualify, and a lot of these other attacks that we've heard about, like the hatchet attack on the cops, would qualify too, Harold.
No, agree. I agree totally with that, but I know that the Bush administration changed the status.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where. I don't know who changed it. I don't care. I'm glad that it's back where it started. I appreciate your call. Here's Florence. Hi, Florence, in New Jersey.
How you doing?
Fine. Thank you for calling me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm calling about Brian Williams.
Go ahead. What would you like to say?
Well, I think that the demoralization of this country is because of situations like Mr. Williams creates. I mean, he said he misremembered. I think you misremember maybe a date or a an exact location, but you don't disremember or misremember an event.
So I agree with that, but let me ask you this, Florence. What would you like to see happen with Bronny Williams? Do you want him to be fired and disappear forever?
Well, I don't know. You know, I can't really say whether I'd want him to disappear forever, but I think there needs to be consequence, and I'll tell you why. What do you think we're telling our young people?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. But don't you think he's been, I mean, how much more humiliated can one person be? He's been, you've seen the New York Post has relished this story. They published him, writing, with President Kennedy in 1963 in Dallas. He's coming ashore with Columbus in 1492. The guy is totally humiliated and totally diminished now. I mean, what else is left? I mean, suicide? I mean, what does he do?
No, but you know what, Geraldo? Who humiliated him? He humiliated
I totally agree. I totally agree. Okay. He is the cause of his own demise, but exactly. I'm just saying it's not a capital offense. I mean, aren't people allowed to make a mistake?
It's not a mistake. That's the difference. See,
but I mean, a lie is, if you tell a lie, that's a mistake. I mean, that's his mistake, was telling the lie.
It's not a mistake. It's an obvious event that you decide to.
But you tell me, Florence, you're in charge now. I just made you president of NBC News. You're president of all news in America. What do you want to do with Bronny Williams, Florence? It's up to you. What do you want to do?
First of all, he would have to publicly announce that his intent was meant to be, that he said exactly what he wanted to say, and he did it for his own ego boost.
Okay, that's number one. That's great. That's excellent. Number two.
Number two, he wouldn't have the same job. He might not lose a job, but he would have a different place in my company. He would not be there to set an example for a nation. Basically.
All right, so he would not be the anchor of the nightly news anymore. And finally?
Precisely. And finally, if it was found out that there were other events, I mean, that was much more egregious than these few that we heard about, then he'd have to be gone.
Florence, you seem like a reasonable, if strict, parent. I'm sure that you're a fine person, and I appreciate your intelligent advice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
19 minutes after 11, I gotta come back in a while.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Welcome back, 26 minutes after 11 o'clock on this Monday. What is today, the 9th of February? I mean, the good news is we're almost halfway through winter, and the days are getting longer. You know, that's one of nature or our current system's paybacks. December 21st starts winter, and which is grim, and you know you're about to get whacked, but the days start getting longer. So that's the upside.
Right. It's not that 4:45 like on December 24th or whatever.
All right. So what's on your mind today? Mary's been holding for a while in New Jersey. Hi, Mary. Thank you very much for calling me.
Hey, Geraldo. I was just wondering about the Bronny Williams thing.
Okay.
If everybody's allowed to make a mistake. Were you as adamantly in defense of Imus when he made his mistake and got fired in probably 10 minutes?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm glad you brought it up, Mary. I absolutely was. I was one of the few people who defended Don Imus. I mean, first of all, I've known him forever. Second of all, I saw him through his really rough period. Everybody makes a mistake. Imus said what he said, and thank you for calling, Mary. Said what he said, and apologized. And he went on an apology tour that was very uncharacteristic. And it must have been very painful for Don. But he made it right. People accepted him back. I mean, that station, I think, suffered as a result of losing him. 77 WABC, as a result, prospered with Imus coming over here. What he said he never should have said, and he was apologetic for it. And once he apologized, I mean, you have to decide what your priorities are in life. I mean, if we have a certain punishment for child molesters, say, or murderers, or wife beaters, there are other sins and crimes and high crimes and misdemeanors, and we just have to be proportional. I thought, actually, the lady from New Jersey that called earlier that had the three-step punishment for Brian Williams was pretty right on the money. Number one, he should really make an apology and say that what he did was a lie. Number two, they should investigate whether or not there are other... And number two, he should not have his anchor job, at least not right now. He should have some other role. And number three, if there are other egregious misrepresentations or lies, he should be fired. I thought that that was a pretty reasonable approach, but at least it gives him hope in context. And I just think that the people going off on him now, and so many of them in the media, are so minor characters in almost every regard, and they seize this as a holy crusade.
Oh, they feed off his fame. That's what they're doing.
They're feeding off his fame. I mean, it's how dare he be so big and tell this lie about being in the wrong helicopter, as if he was in a different country, as if he was never in Iraq.
Well, and who hasn't exaggerated a story to make
please,
it better?
Please,
come on, we all do that.
Come to the bar after the second tequila shot.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, everyone... No, I won't. The bad thing is that most of it is true. Joe in Long Island. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Morning, Geraldo. You bring up an interesting point. Was he drunk when he said this?
No, he wasn't, unfortunately.
I think not. Number two...
I was drunk when I did my selfie, though, that's for sure.
Right. He is number two. He is not a talk show radio host. He's an alleged reporter.
Right.
Okay.
I understand the severity of it, Joe. Don't get me wrong. I understand it's serious.
All right, well, his credibility is now zero.
Do you think his credibility is zero? So his whole life, for that one lie, his whole life, everything he's ever done, all the work he's done with veterans, all that means nothing?
No, I didn't say that means nothing. I'm saying I'm the head of NBC. You either resign or you're fired from that job.
Jim. Okay. I mean, you never ever told a lie. All right. No, Joe's gone. All right.
Maybe he's never told one.
Maybe he's never told one. I want to ask his wife. No, I don't. He's known with the news. You see AC/DC open the show last night?
They're great.
Great. The guy's 69 years old. Gave me hope. I was air guitaring for Soul last night. See, the guy wearing she said, why do they dress in English schoolboy outfits? I said, that's a long story. I don't remember. I think anybody that really remembers wasn't an AC/DC fan. I wasn't particular. I thought they were great. The Democratic Assemblyman, Tom Abernathy of Westchester, I spoke about this earlier. He wants to make it easier for parents in New York State to obtain an exemption for their kids from getting a measles vaccine. He wants to extend it from religious exemptions to so-called philosophical exemptions. I guess the religious exemption is available in 19 different states. But in New York, this assemblyman from Westchester, Tom Abernathy, wants to expand the exemption just when everybody else is going the other direction. I think it's a terrible idea, but the assemblyman joins us right now to defend his statements and his proposal here. So welcome, Assemblyman. I don't like
Good
this
morning.
Idea, but tell me why I should.
Okay, well, first of all, let me start off with it. This is not about measles. This is not about whether vaccines are a good idea or a bad idea. It's not about the science of vaccines. And it's not that other states are going the other way. I am not anti-vaccine. I am just pro-choice. I think there are three points that we have to make very quickly. Number one, with the media frenzy and the medical establishment pushing back and big pharma pushing back, we're stifling discussion about the pharmaceutical industry. This is not about whether vaccines are a good idea or a bad idea. We should be talking about how do we have the best system to determine who should get
vaccinated. Okay, move on to your next point.
The second point is this is about individualized health care. The president has said that we need health care directed towards the needs of individual people. I'm pro-choice. I believe in informed consent. That's the basis for the American medical system. And I think that's what
okay,
we're trying to
and point
there.
Three.
And point three, we need to show some concern for the unintended consequences and the victims of those. It is well established that people are hurt by vaccines. There's a court in Washington that has thousands of claims coming in and has spent millions of taxpayer dollars. We've immunized.
Okay, I got the three points. You're pro-choice. You believe in individualized health care, and you think there should be more research of unintended consequence. Here's what I have to say. Let me just quote Arthur Kaplan, the head of medical ethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center, great center here. He says that what you're doing is completely counterproductive. It's not the response we need to a measles epidemic or any other epidemic. And actually, no one is really pushing hard for that. Actually, what people are starting to talk about is narrowing the exemption, not broadening the exemption.
Well,
and when you talk about when you talk about being pro-choice, I'm pro-choice too. So I want to go 60 miles an hour in the 30 mile an hour zone. You know, I want individual health care. I want marijuana for everybody. I want the an investigation again into the unintended consequence. Unintended consequence has ever been found in this measles. In terms of autism, I think that what you're doing here is an awful idea, and I think you should be ashamed of yourself at this point.
Well, I appreciate your sentiment, but that's part of what's going on. You see, you guys in the media are trying to stifle discussion.
I just read you from the guy who's the head of medical ethics at NYU.
He's part of the establishment, but everything that he is saying is based on what the pharmaceutical industry is telling us. They're doing.
Can you cite one medical paper that shows a relationship between the medical measles and the autism vaccine?
I'm not suggesting that.
I want you to give me one cite.
I'm not saying to you that measles causes the measles vaccine. Causes,
but do you know how broad philosophy is? You want a philosophical exemption?
Give me a chance to say something here. Look, my point to you is we don't know. There are no studies out there comparing kids who have taken vaccines and those who haven't.
Do you have children?
I have a child with autism, and he went downhill after he took his MMR around the age of 2 or 3. My wife and I have discussed this. We think we made a mistake following the advice.
Now I see. You should have started with that headline.
This is not about my kid. This is about
child. And that I am so sympathetic to people. That's what I do. I deal with the. I raise funds for people who are developmentally disabled.
You in the past have been very good at investigating.
My heart goes out to you. I understand the challenge.
Big Pharma is the only one feeding
And I
remember the tobacco industry.
I remember more than anything else. I mean, I have other friends in a similar situation, and they have a similar view. But the thing that I beg you to understand, and I'm sure you do far better than I do or anyone listening does, is that autism develops after the third year.
That's the
chronology of autism.
This is not about autism.
That's your motivation.
Established. The federal government is giving millions of dollars of taxpayers' money to people who have established vaccine industry. The pharmaceutical industry has no accountability, no liability.
I think that is an issue, and it's a separate issue.
Look at all of the other mistakes that pharmaceutical industries have had to pull back drugs.
Investigating for any possible connection and have found none.
That's not true. I want to say that is not true. There's never been a study of the kids who aren't vaccinated versus those who are. They're trying to tell you, read those 10 studies that they cite over and over again.
Tom, I think that your personal experience.
No, this is not about my personal experience. What this is about is informed.
I work with Bob Wright. You know Bob Wright, very, very esteemed. Bob and Suzanne Wright, they ran NBC. They're fabulous people. He spent a fortune, Bob Wright did, because his grandson had the same chronology as your boy did.
And his daughter disagrees with his conclusions. She's left the organization that he started, and there's a big split in that family.
I withdraw. I don't want to be
okay,
any harshness
to,
with
let
you.
Let me get back to the issues at hand.
All right, but my problem is your private deal. As compassionate as I feel, the problem is when you try to expand that to include other families in your role as a legislature. legislator.
The pharmaceutical industry has been wrong so many times before.
I think that there's plenty of room to investigate Big Pharma. I agree with that.
Well, how do we get to do that? How do we get to look and say...
By making a philosophical exemption to getting measles vaccines. I want every kid to have a measles. I want your kids all to be vaccinated.
We are told that the reason we have to vaccinate the herd is because it's not fully effective, and there are some people who should not be vaccinated. So what I want to do is set up a system so we test before a kid gets the vaccine, not afterwards and is injured. We should be having a system where you don't stack all of the vaccines. You know, a kid gets 39 vaccines before they're 5 years old. Why are we not giving the kid one vaccine and then testing them to see what the reaction is, then give the next vaccine, then give the next one? Not five in one day. The pharmaceutical industry makes tons of money because they get them all in before the age of five.
All right, Tom, I got to let you go. I got to let you go. I appreciate everything that you have said. Again, farewell, brother. Fare thee well. Fare thee well. And I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, it's rough. It's rough because you have to walk in his shoes. You know, and I feel like crying right now. I mean, I don't want to yell at a dad of a kid that has autism and got autism after he got the vaccine. I just know that everything I've read, I'm a responsible person. I don't say things that I don't believe are fact-based. I don't. When I tell you there is not a single document other than the discredited British guy, Wakefield, that justifies that. And the real consequences of not getting your kid vaccinated are documented. I mean, look at this. Why do we have measles now? We eradicated measles. Measles is like, it's like the bubonic plague. It's from yesteryear, polio. And it's coming back because of junk science, really. But I feel for him. I understand. I mean, I get it. I got five kids. 48 minutes after 11 o'clock.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Get to your calls momentarily. Oh, I don't have very many moments. Did you hear this out of Georgia? Another one of these horrible stories. A man arguing with his ex-wife over taxes and child support. He kills her. He kills himself. But in the meantime, he also kills his 7-year-old daughter, his 9-year-old son. And he shoots a 15-year-old and another 7-year-old.
Jeez.
I mean, what is it with these people? I mean, you have a beef, kill yourself. I mean, you're kill yourself. Kill your damn self. And, you know, kill your wife over taxes. And then, however horrible that is, to then kill your children. Why are you going to kill your children? What do your children have to do with it? I mean, I just think it's so pathetic. I mean, it's just, you know, I can make a whole big gun thing, but I won't.
Closer to home, you know, we had in Closter, that guy killed his wife and then killed himself over the weekend. Closter, New Jersey, small, quiet town there.
I know Closter. That's where Soul went to the temple there.
Yeah, same thing. That thankfully, he didn't kill the kid. The kid was left alone in the house until someone found him. Yeah.
Thank God. How old?
And, you know, young, 2-3 years old. Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't get to all the calls today. Sandy, John, Paul, Vince, give me another call tomorrow. We'll be right here. Hopefully the weather will improve, although I'm not so sure about that. Thank you very much for listening. Love you very much. See you tomorrow.